This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that likes artwork featuring chickens and other birds. Well,
it's April 28th, Saturday. We're sitting in the Starbucks on Moreland Avenue.
Took a break from the Inman Park Festival, which we actually had planned to record out in the park, but it got windy and we don't have our windscreen, so we went to Starbucks.
Besides, I am much more comfortable using the restroom at Starbucks than using porta potties.
Yeah, there was a long line of porta potties, and I would recommend avoiding them. So, about the Inman Park Festival.
Yeah, this is the first time that I've ever been to it. And I'm excited to catch some of the parade, which will be starting, in about 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, one of the really nice things about the Inman Park Festival is that everything is in the neighborhood around there, so you actually can walk around in the shade a lot more than you can at other places.
And, plus it's not that hot out today, too, which, so the two things combined
make it a much nicer experience, because we haven't quite hit the point in the summer where it's just blisteringly stay inside and, you know, crouch in a fetal position by the air conditioner hot yet.
I'm excited about the parade because Baton Bob is going to be leading it. Baton Bob has been busy lately. He was at the opening of Trader Joe's, the new Trader Joe's here, a week or so ago, I think.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with Baton Bob, should we just give a brief description? He dresses up in various outfits and parades around Atlanta to bring mirth to people.
Bring mirth, yeah. Flips a baton way
up in the
air.
We'll offer a link for you.
Yeah.
So anyway, also our friend Grayson of True Grits fame, and I believe her other True Grits cohort, Sass, also going to be in the
Sass was a maybe, but
well, because
Grayson ought to be there.
Currently busy getting shit-faced in somewhere in South Carolina.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
So what else about the Inman Park Festival?
Well, I just got your tweet from Twitter here.
Oh.
Yeah, so by the way, we are taking tweets, you know, over Twitter, so we'll answer questions or leave comments in here for
if
anybody.
If we get any.
Yeah, if we get any, which, you know, it's Saturday, people probably aren't by their computers, don't want to mess with this. We'll see.
That reminds me, I am actually using Twitter from my phone now, and it's not something I intend to make a habit of because, frankly, I find it fucking annoying, but I do have this new phone, which means I can if I so choose, and it's pretty interesting for me because I haven't had, like, a new gadget pretty much ever. I mean, I don't know, I guess 3.5 years ago when I bought my iBook that I have now, I mean, it was a new gadget at the time, but it was like the lowest end one. And even this is a refurbished phone, but God, I mean, it's pretty nice, and it has a camera with a swivel lens and everything. So this is a new experience for me, and I've been sending photos directly from it to Flickr, and isn't technology great?
You're a little apprehensive typically about adopting gadgets and things. Why would you say that?
Because I'm not going to adopt something just because it's the new thing. I need to know why I should care.
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, I mean, doesn't it kind of surprise you how useful it actually can turn out to be, even after a first impression of, oh, God, this, you know, I hate this? Because I know in my case, for example, I was really hesitant to get on Flickr. I did not want to get on Flickr because I was really scared of not having ownership of my photos, and I was scared of, oh God, what if Flickr's going to go down? And, you know, I'm still a little concerned about that occasionally, but the service's pros outweigh the cons, I believe.
And I think that's also because, like, when I first heard about Flickr, it was much newer, so the possibility of it going down and having problems was a lot more than it is now. And I also honestly didn't understand everything that it offered. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, like Snapfish or Shutterfly, just a photo hosting service.
Yeah.
I didn't really get the fact that there's so much more to it, the whole social networking aspect of it. But, you know, I mean, I was skeptical of Twitter, and I definitely like it now, but I still don't think, at least not for the foreseeable future, that I'm going to be using it on my phone that much. I mean, I use stuff that's beneficial to me. I don't just drink the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of Speaking of Twitter, I actually, the other day, kind of documented my entire morning going on the way to the hospital and sort of had a lot of little minor adventures on the way. There was a woman on the bus. Anyway, so I sort of documented my whole morning from when I left until when I found out the results of my medical test, and I thought that it was really neat to sort of put a story, to almost form a narrative in little tiny chunks, and it sort of made me want to do it more and to just sort of let things happen to me and to go back and look at them later and to sort of put the pieces together without trying to think of it in terms of a bigger picture.
You should use the daily blog posting.
Yeah.
The plugin, like
I thought about doing that, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Moving along.
Yeah. Well, maybe not quite moving along, actually, because it turns out I have gallstones. And I may have to have surgery for them, which I'm not looking forward to, but I'm not really, like, afraid either. I'd rather go through the risk of surgery than to have to risk going through one of those attacks like I went through at the airport a few weeks ago where I was bowled over in pain. And
I'm a little nervous for Rusty, but I know that, you know, it'll be fine. This is something that, you know, needs to be done. If the doctor says that this is the only option, which we still don't know.
Yeah. The thing about gallstones that, because a lot of people have gallstones, but it doesn't bother a lot of people. Both of my parents had gallstones. They had really large gallstones. And it's different than kidney stones. Kidney stones, if you have large kidney stones, that can be a major, major problem because it can block things that don't need to be blocked. The thing about gallstones is that big ones typically don't cause blockage. It's the little ones like I have that cause blockage. And that gets to be more problematic. And the thing is that when one of those gallstones blocks something, you'll fall over and you'll be in just intense, intense pain. And then it'll become unblocked and no pain. So it's my little thing about gallstones. I'm sure you'll hear more later.
But the reason that was not really moving on was because here on our list of items to talk about, we have gallstones and then in parentheses, first Twittered surgery.
Maybe
with
so.
With a question mark.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Obviously, I won't be awake for the actual surgery, and there will be no there will be no way to actually Twitter while they're carving me up and taking stuff out of me, but I would like to Twitter up to the point where they knock me out, or at least where they tell me I can't use my cell phone anymore, and then pretty much as soon as I'm capable when I wake up, we'll see if it's exciting or not.
And you can take photos and video on your phone as well.
Yes, I can.
Gosh, this is going to be so Web 2.0 interactive.
Yeah.
We're all going to have gallstone surgery.
Yeah. Everyone can have gallstone surgery with me.
Aren't you excited?
Not really, but could be worse. Moving on. All right, so I don't know if this was a question directly to us or not, but this comes from Joe Ventures over Twitter, and he poses the question, how long will it take for Metro Atlanta to secede from Georgia?
That's a rhetorical question.
It already pretty much has in spirit, so
I don't know what to say to that.
I mean, there really are two different. There is Georgia and there is other Georgia, at least right now.
Well, Athens, too. I mean, you pretty much have to say, like, Atlanta and Athens.
Yeah.
I mean, Athens was the one several years ago when the same-sex marriage amendment was on the ballot. The vote was the closest in Clark County.
Mm-hmm.
Like 48% to 49%.
Well, you know, the Republicans gerrymandered Jane Kidd right out of there.
Yeah.
Now she's running the Democratic Party. Hopefully she has revenge on her mind and can take it to these fools, but we'll see. So, moving right along, now what have we got? I guess we never really did quite. I mean, did we finish up on the Inman Park Festival?
Well, I'm not sure what else there really is to say. We bought some art.
Yeah.
Oh, reach down there in the bag and see what the name of the artist is that we bought from. We bought this really cool art with these cute little chickens and stuff, and we'll have to, like, post a photo or something, because they're so goddamn cute.
We'll link to her site, too.
I want to get more for our apartment.
Her name is Kathy May Stalker. May in quotes. I guess that's her nickname. So, May Stalker. Born and raised in the Pocono Mountains. Moved to Atlanta in 1998. stupid people need to quit laughing. Don't have any fun.
Not when we're around. Only we can have fun.
So she doesn't. Let's see if there's a website listed on here. There's no website listed on here.
We'll track her down.
We'll
don't you worry.
Down.
And we'll post photos of the shit we bought.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got a Twitter tweet from Shelby. It says, ready to march in Inman with the Democrats on Spruce.
Ah.
So apparently he's in the parade, too.
I guess we need to go look for him.
Eventually, after we eat.
Yeah. All right, so where do we have anything left on that? I guess not.
Do you want to talk about the John Havens thing now?
Yeah, first of all, and we're going to have to put an edit point in here to play you one response voicemail we got about it. So we'll play that for you now.
John Havens equals ass hack.
So this was sent from someone with a 706 area code, so that means they could be in Athens, they could be in Augusta, they could be anywhere from there. I don't know, it sort of sounded like Jared Brown from Wall of Brown, but I don't know. So please, when you call, we want people to call and leave voicemail and everything, but please identify yourself. We played this one, but in the future, if you don't identify yourself, we're not going to play it. Even if you use a pseudonym, that's fine.
Pseudonyms are fine. We just need some sort of identifying information so that we know who the hell is calling. And, you know, you don't have to, like, give out your address or anything or a phone number.
Social security number.
I mean, we're not looking for that. We just, need to know who it's from. Because we can't just be posting random anonymous pot shots at people like that generally.
And honestly, Rusty and I had a bit of a disagreement on whether to even include that little voicemail because I didn't want to include it in light of the message that John Havens himself left.
Which we're going to play for you now.
This is a call from John C. Havens to Amber and Rusty. And I was just listening to your thoughts about PodCamp NYC. And let me just say up front, I am so very sorry with regards to that panel for a couple reasons. A, I was exhausted. So that's not an excuse, but just to let you know, and I know you guys probably from running PodCamp Atlanta may have felt that fatigue by the time you were near the end of the event. B, I totally know about what you guys did at Atlanta in terms of, I know a lot of the sponsors, I know about how the event went, and I am proud as a fellow PodCampian, if that's the right term. I mean, the press that you guys generated was fantastic. I mean, you got us, meaning the larger PodCamp community, international press. That was huge. So all I can say is, and with the Southern comment, that was just so very, just plain stupid, A, and B, was meant as a joke. Like, I'm not good at deprecating humor. I never have been. And so the last thing I would want to do is by any means inspire any kind of regionalism, negative, whatever. My brother-in-law lived in Atlanta for years. I may be working with a client in Atlanta. I actually really do like Atlanta. I was there about 3 weeks ago. I'm also not from New York. I'm from Boston, and I don't have any Northeastern bias. My folks live in Nashville. So totally understand why you guys would have been upset at my remark and totally don't blame me for thinking I was or am an asshole, but for what it's worth, I did not skip your name on purpose, Amber. I was just exhausted. And B, that Southern thing was intended as just kind of a makeup joke because I was embarrassed that I'd forgotten your name. Obviously, it came off badly, totally understand, and I know this is a long message, but just wanted to make sure you and your listeners, and please feel free to play this. No, I was thrilled that you came, and that's specifically where I asked you guys to be on that panel. And I also apologize, I was talking a lot. You can watch the video, and I talked a lot. Long story short, there were a lot of issues that we had dealt with up to, especially the month before, that I was very hypersensitive about. And again, if I had more sleep, I think I would have been a better moderator rather than sort of, kind of being defensive. Anyway, long story short, and I'm sure I'm going to keep talking, even though I've just said that like three times, I so appreciate what you guys did at PodCamp Atlanta, and again, I hope this is appropriate, but I'm really proud of what you did, and I point to you guys all the time with regards to the press, with regards to how organized it was, et cetera, and I'm not just saying that. It's a fact. To me, the PodCamp brand, if that's the best term, and the community people have to know, like we talked about on that panel, it doesn't make a difference how many people come. It's nice if a lot of people come, but you can have a PodCamp with 10 people at a diner. And if the education and networking and community focus are there, there it is. But for Atlanta, to me, you guys really pitched a tent, what's the best term, pitched a stake in the ground? I don't know. Please edit this part out. I can't think of the right metaphor. But, you know, the press that you got for the new media community really was a huge step forward and actually was really helpful for me with sponsors because you validated the movement in a lot of ways. So anyway, please accept this as a sincere apology. I'm more than happy if you play this on the show because there's a lot about that video that in some ways I would change because, you know, you forget when you're being recorded sometimes that it's up there for a while. And I'm a very passionate person, and when I'm sleepy, I don't say always the things I'd like to. So I'm working on that. But again, I will end this particular part of it by saying my apologies to you and Rusty, and I was thrilled that you came as fellow PodCamp organizers. And also, by the way, thank you so much for being on the help desk, and I'm sorry that the coat check thing happened. It's surreal, you know, when you start working on something like this, the amount of things that you don't think of, and a lot of people were asking about coat check a week before, and we knew the hotel didn't have one, and we just didn't know the best solution because we couldn't even get a room to lock, you know, people's stuff up in. But then we thought, you know, if 1,300 people come and they all have a laptop and they want a key, it would just be insane. And there are a lot of things that for version 2.0 we'll try to refine and make better. But in terms of your regional experience, I just feel horrible that as, you know, a main host and organizer that we wouldn't come up that there's some kind of northern-southern thing because, you know, believe me or not, but I seriously couldn't care less. And it was, like I said, my comment was a dumb joke that wasn't really a joke at all in the sense of if it hurt you, that bums me out. Long message. I'm going to try calling you in person, but I listened to the show. And also, Rusty, I appreciate your comments about the 10 to 12 sessions per hour. We're going to try to do 2 days next time. And I think we may have told you this guy to this or in the video, in the thing that we recorded. We had that weekend initially, or that day, because our first venue gave us that day for free. We will not do it again on Easter weekend, just because obviously it's not a great time to hold an event because, well, I know for me and a lot of people, that's a big family weekend. So it's probably going to be in March. And please accept this now as a very, very open and warm welcome if you want to come to 2.0. We'd love to have you guys speak about Atlanta, about the network, about whatever. And Twitter, I know you guys are fans. And this is a heinously long message, but there it is, and I will try you calling on the phone as well. Bye-bye.
So after that, and he also sent an email, a long email to Rusty and me, apologizing, and an email to the list with all the other PodCamp organizers.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just think, like, so after that, I felt really bad about including something where some random anonymous person calls up and says, hey, he's an asshat. Yeah. I mean, it was an asshole thing to say. And
well, it was
he
an asshat
admitted that.
Act, and
yeah,
he admitted
it was.
That, and, you know, I'm...
And I'm not saying, like...
I'm not going
to
dwell
I'm
on
not
it.
Saying it's okay for him to have said that, but, I mean, that was a sincere apology, and that's more than a lot of people would do.
Yeah, so
and when someone offers a sincere apology, you know, I appreciate it. If
yeah.
You know, if I get the feeling that it is sincere, and in
yeah.
this case, I definitely believe that it was.
I don't think his apology could have been any more sincere.
I know.
it was very lengthy and sincere, and we appreciate
so
it.
So
thank you.
That was yeah. Thanks, John.
Yeah. So you have an idea for a conference that you wrote a blog post about.
I did. I mentioned it in the last Talkie podcast. My feminism / women's sexuality / social media. Blogging, Web 2.0, all of the above, conference, as yet unnamed, but obviously it needs a succinct name. So I wrote a blog post, I put up a blog post about it earlier this morning that was basically just some sort of stream of thought, or stream of consciousness thoughts, just some brainstorming, fleshing out some of the ideas a little more. So if you go to beingamberray.com, and it's from this morning, April 28th, and check out that post and see what you think. And if you have any more ideas, please, you know, leave them in a comment there or leave a voicemail here or whatever, because I really want to get this thing going. And this could be pretty big for Atlanta, I think.
Yeah. I got a direct tweet from our friend Pat Fitzgerald, who also helped us out at PodCamp running a screencasting session. He just asked, why are you podcasting at Starbucks? Because there's a lower rate of gallstones found among coffee drinkers.
Is that true?
That's what he says. I don't know. We'll have to look that up later.
Maybe
and
that's
find
why
out.
Your gallstones are small.
Maybe so. Maybe I was destined.
You drink a lot of fucking coffee.
I know I do. Maybe I was destined to have gigantic gallstones that wouldn't have bothered me. And
I'm not sure what the lesson learned here
I'm
is.
I'm not really sure what the lesson is supposed to be, but so that's what Pat asked.
But there it is.
There it is.
No, but we're podcasting from Starbucks because we knew it would be a nice place to sit, and they have a clean bathroom.
Yeah, clean bathrooms are good, cleaner than porta potties.
So I want to talk about my pole dancing graduation because it can be vaguely tied to my conference idea, because one of the things that I had an idea for including with the conference is maybe, you know, doing a pole dancing party for conference attendees, something like that. But anyway, I had my level 3 pole dancing graduation last Monday. It was very exciting. I can't believe I've gone through 3 levels now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from where when I started just being absolutely incompetent to now, I...
Incompetent's a little strong.
Well, you know, I'm not having any knowledge of how to do any of this, basically.
Yeah.
And being uncoordinated and all the rest of it. But now I can go upside down and climb.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that's crazy. You should really check out our Flickr photos.
Yeah. And I have aspirations to go to amateur night at some point. Don't know when, don't know where. But if you have any thoughts on a particular club that I should look into, let us know. And when I finally do, you know, decide to actually go through with this, we will be sure to let everybody know so that you can all come out and help me win.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm able to go upside down, come on.
I think, I mean, really, you ought to place at least. You ought to be in the running just purely for that. And I, you know, we went to the Pink Pony a few months ago, and really, even back then, when you weren't level 3 or even level 2 at the time.
Yeah, I think I was.
I think you were in level 2, but hadn't graduated.
I think I was only in the level 1 refresher at that
yeah.
point.
And you were already at that point better than probably 70 or 80% of the people dancing there. So.
Well, that makes me feel good.
Well, you were. Hell of a stripper. All right, so. Talked about pole dancing. I want to kind of revisit the Snellville trivia we went to this Tuesday.
Okay.
The trivia, okay, well, it was out in Snowville, which is on Highway 78, just past Stone Mountain. And the place is called Buffalo's House or Buffalo House, depending on which sign you believed.
Yeah.
First of all, anytime you go to a place and they have inconsistent signage, you should turn around and walk out right then, right there, no questions asked, no matter what. I mean, even if it's the person marrying you or if it's life altering surgery or anything like that. I don't care what it is, just turn around and walk away. But getting back to the John Havens thing, this Snellville trivia sort of made me question where I should draw my lines on when it's appropriate to make fun of people and when I'm being a dick who's partaking in regional bias. Because clearly I've developed some regional bias living in the city, because it's just, I think it's nicer to live in the city, and I grew up in the suburbs, and so I have some long-standing hostility for places outside the perimeter that, you know, I'm trying to address and work on and try to not be so presumptuous about things. But the flip side is, sometimes you get into situations like this trivia at Snellville where the people sort of meet those ideas.
It was fucking creepy. I didn't really feel comfortable there.
And, you know, I don't know.
Here's what I think about that. I don't think that's really regional bias, as long as you acknowledge that it's not, you know, a southern thing.
Yeah.
That people like that can and do exist everywhere.
Yeah.
And it may be more of a suburban thing, but even more specific than that, it's just like a weird enclave type deal, because obviously not everybody who lives in the suburbs is creepy like that, and
yeah.
not all of the suburbs are like that. So it's not even a generalization about the suburbs. It's just like this one place that we went was bizarre and creepy and surreal.
Yeah, it really was. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, there was the really loud sort of stereotypical classic rock soundtrack, which it's funny because I grew up really enjoying classic rock, and so I guess that means that I was a walking stereotype at a point, but I don't know. What would you say? I mean, what was it that made that place so creepy?
It was the convergence of a lot of different things, and a lot of it I'm having trouble, honestly,
sort of articulating.
I mean, it was... I got the feeling that there
was... It was in a converted Hardee's, for one thing.
Yeah, and it was like... The waitress was really weird. Like, she kept apologizing for checking up on us.
Yeah.
It's like... Well, you're a waitress. I mean,
she did make she made a remark about authentic Chinese food because we had Chinese people in the kitchen.
Yeah, they had this really weird menu that had all different kinds of food on it, and I noted that the menu seemed like a typical Chinese takeout menu because, you know, everything was singular instead of plural, like, you know, basket of dinner roll or something
basket
like that.
Basket of dinner roll.
And then I looked and there was Chinese food on the menu. And then, so I ordered the sesame chicken, and the waitress is like, oh, you're getting the only authentic thing here, because the chefs, or the cooks, are Asian.
Yeah, what about that?
I didn't really know what to say to that. I mean, I got the feeling that there was probably some hostility from everybody, like, emanating from everybody there, if you're in any way different.
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling.
Yeah. Because we were definitely getting some sort of creepy looks.
I kind of wanted to just... reach over and kiss Nikki on the lips and see what would happen.
That would have been hot.
Yes, I suppose.
Well, it would have been hot until there was a major freak out and chairs started flying and stuff. We don't tolerate none of that here. But
anyway, it was just a weird experience, and I don't think it's wrong to point out when experiences are weird and uncomfortable. And you know,
yeah.
I think there's a big difference between that and just making an assumption based on one piece of information about a person.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm continuously sort of reevaluating where I draw those lines, and we'll continue to reevaluate. I guess the important part is to be conscious of it and to just try not to make generalizations and to just go on a case-by-case, scenario-by-scenario basis and not group people into a swath of assumptions. So... That's where I'm at with that now. Just a couple more things to talk about. We went to the Net Squared meeting, the first ever Atlanta Net Squared meeting, this past, what, Tuesday?
Uh-huh.
And that was run by our friend Tim, who's on Twitter. I guess he's not going to Twitter anything in about it.
We recorded a podcast of that, and we've got to do some editing on it and everything, and that's going to end up being a new network program. Just
yeah.
The Net Squared Atlanta podcast.
Yeah.
So that'll be up, you know, I don't know, eventually, a week or so.
Yeah. So any thoughts about what came out of the meeting? Because, first of all, maybe we should explain what Net Squared is very briefly.
It's, you know, trying to use social media for, like, social change and activism.
Yeah.
We can link to it.
Yeah.
Because their website obviously does a better job of explaining it than what I'm trying to pull out of my ass right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's a really cool concept. And this was the first meeting, so it was pretty small. But, you know, I think definitely there's going to be some interest building.
Yeah.
And it could be a really good thing for Atlanta to have.
Excellent. So last topic on our list here is Southern Fried Tech.
Yeah, you need to check out Southern Fried Tech. That's Jeff Haney's project. At first it was... I thought it was just going to be, I mean, I say just, but a video project, like a vidcast type deal. But now he's gone and released an entire, like, social networking site surrounding it, which is focused on bringing together technology entrepreneurs in the Southeast. So you should go to southernfriedtech.com.
It runs on the software that his, company wrote?
Yep.
Hakano?
Yeah, same software that I believe was behind the SoCon website. So you should sign up, create a profile, all that good stuff.
Very cool.
Any parting thoughts?
Maybe we should ask people to leave voicemails. I can find the number.
Yes, please leave us voicemail. We love voicemail. We also love when you identify yourself when you leave voicemail.
Yes, please identify yourself when you leave voicemails. Voicemail number is 678-389-9441. You can also reach us on Twitter. My profile name is Rusty Tanton, T-A-N-T-O-N.
And mine's Amber L. Ray, which is the same as it is damn near everywhere else.
Yep. And you can email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com. So that's all we got. Laters. The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.